Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us on the Commons today, we have our old friend Frank Shortback. Frank's been keeping a very close eye on the bills that have been introduced this year in Virginia, and he's going to give us a rundown on what our legislators are trying to do to us and what we can do about it. Frank, thank you so much for coming. I know that it's been a long day for you and you came rushing over from work to do this. So thank you so much for joining us.
It is always fun to be here, Sue.
So what are the legislators doing to us this year?
Well, the old adage that nobody's rights are safe when the legislature is in session is particularly true when the legislature is playing around with homeowners associations and they're being lobbied by CAI. And one other thing that I've noticed is that in Virginia we have every other year is what's called the short session of the legislature. And CAI seems to be particularly adept at trying to use those short sessions for more of their controversial bills. And so we
is it easier to slip them in the short sessions?
I suppose that's the thinking, Shu. And so the first thing we need to tell folks in Virginia is that there are a couple of different resources available for you to go to check on these bills. There's, of course, the official Virginia legislature site that you can get to just by Googling Virginia legislature. It'll take you right there. Mm-hmm. And you can search the bills on there. The importance of that site is that the official site of the legislature will tell you when the committees are going to meet. It will tell you who's on what committee, and it will have their email points of contact. And that's a very good resource to reach out to people on the committees. And if you want to go to Richmond yourself, it'll tell you when the key committees, and in the case of homeowners associations, it's the general laws, or the general laws and technology of the House and Senate that you want to pay attention to. Because when the bills get introduced, they are referred to those committees. Almost every time. There are subcommittees, but the bills we're going to talk about tonight have not, as of yesterday, been referred to any subcommittee. And there is no hearing date as of yesterday. There's no hearing date scheduled in either the House or the Senate to consider these bills that we're going to talk about. The other site that the listeners ought to know about is a very useful site, and also it's a lot of fun. It is richmondsunlight.com, and Richmond Sunlight will allow you not only to see the text of the bill, but there's a discussion feature where you can post comments on a bill, and you're allowed to vote, cast a vote on whether you support this bill in its current form or not at richmondsunlight.com.
Frank, does anyone pay attention to those votes?
I don't know. I think if I was a legislator, I probably would, you know, track on richmondsunlight.com what people were saying about my legislation, and maybe I could find ways to amend it, to improve it. I mean, the folks in the legislature don't have a monopoly on good ideas,
and they think they do.
Well, if it was my bill and I saw something in the bill that was the subject of comment and I agreed with the comments, I'd probably change the bill. You know, we actually saw that a couple of years ago when a delegate named Sickles from here in Northern Virginia, he introduced a bill that would have let homeowners associations keep confidential and not share with the homeowners draft policy resolutions They wouldn't have
to
tell you
minutes.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have to tell you what the policy resolution was until they actually adopted the resolution. They could keep it secret. And I commented to the legislators, this was before we had Richmond Sunlight, but I wrote to the legislators and I said, now, just imagine you have the right to go to a meeting of the board of directors, and you have a right to speak to the board of directors, and you know they're going to vote on a policy resolution, but you don't know what it is. So how can you effectively exercise your rights to talk to the board about something you don't know what they're going to do?
Because it's a draft.
And I said, you know, if this was the case in Richmond, we wouldn't be able to see draft pieces of legislation. They'd be secret until the legislature passed them and the governor signed them, and then we'd be allowed to comment about them. And I guess so many folks thought that that was a bad idea, including Delegate Sickles, that bill kind of went away, and I think it went away at the instance of Delegate Sickles himself, for which we commended him. But that was obviously a CAI initiative, and unfortunately...
Oh, it was, because I got a call about that bill.
Yeah. And unfortunately for Delegate Sickles, he's on our list again tonight.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to call him.
one other thing about RichmondSunlight.com that is that's very useful is there's a link to something called VPAP, the Virginia Public Access Project. And if you get into VPAP, you can look up a legislator and you can see who the contributors to that legislator are. And if you remember House Bill 516, which in the short session in 2008 went blissfully through the legislature and unfortunately became law, although you and I and some others did get some improvements to it, we'll take part of the credit for making sure that three of the members on this common interest community board actually have to live in homeowners associations, believe it or not.
I know. And you know, it was a minor victory, but there's jerks who live in there as well who are more industry than the industry ever dreamt of being. So those are the ones that are going to get handpicked.
Well, if you do a Google search on Delegate Terry, spelled T-E-R-R-I-E, Suit, S-U-I-T, you can check out some of the comments that were made about that bill. And if you look her up on VPAP, VPAP.com, you'll find out who some of her contributors were. And they included a paid lobbyist for CAI, just one of them. Shu and I identified thousands of dollars from trade associations, either CAI or Virginia Association of Community Managers or individual management companies that were sending her a lot of money. She introduced the bill, obviously, on their behalf, and she also was on the Common Interest Community Board, and why people didn't make more of an issue of a conflict of interest out of that is really beyond me, Shu.
She was on the Housing Commission.
At the Virginia Housing Commission. That was before. Yeah, the Common Interest Community Board was created by her bill.
Right.
You know, the good news is that she has now departed the Virginia legislature.
Yeah, but she left a hell of a lot of mess behind her.
Yeah.
I mean, what she did was just unconscionable.
Yep. So, move into the legislation that we're going to talk about tonight. The first one is bad for a different reason, Shu. A lot of these bills are bad for what they say. This one is bad for what it doesn't say. And this is Senate Bill 388. It's about the Office of the Attorney General, the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Affairs, powers and duties relating to consumer protection laws. Now, Shu and I have talked for years about how community associations ought to be the subject of consumer protection laws.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the consumer protection ought to be provided by an entity of the real government that is not controlled, as it is, unfortunately, in Virginia, by a trade association. this bill establishes the jurisdiction of the Department of Agriculture and Community Affairs and the powers and duties of that office relating to consumer protection laws in the office of the Attorney General. Now, we're going to talk in a minute about the new governor of Virginia and his stated vision for the office of the Attorney General and consumer protection. But first, we'll talk about what this bill says. And let me read some of the areas in which this office exercises jurisdiction. The Virginia Health Spa Act.
The Health Spa Act.
The Health Spa Act is under the jurisdiction of this office. The Virginia Membership Camping Act. If you're a consumer and you think you got a complaint under the Virginia Membership Camping Act, you can make it to this office. The Prizes and Gifts Act. The Pay Per Call Services Act. The Legal Services Contracts. The Virginia Travel Club Act.
Oh, goody.
The Virginia Post-Disaster Anti-Price Gouging Act.
And the, you're kidding.
And the Solicitation of Contributions Law. All of these are under the jurisdiction of that office in the Attorney General's office.
But when it comes to your home?
But when it comes to the Property Owners Association Act and the Condominium Act, you still, in Virginia, have no government entity with real power to protect your rights as a consumer. And that is a cry and shame.
Now, we do have an ombudsman, and as far as I know, I've got to be honest.
We have an ombudsman, and Frank Short has a comb, folks. But the use of the ombudsman is just about as useful as Frank Short's comb. And I'm sitting across from Shu, and she's laughing, so you can imagine how useful that ombudsman is to people who live in the homeowners association.
Well, let me tell you, Frank, I get calls from homeowners, and I always ask them if they have called the ombudsman, and they say yes, and in their words, she's useless. But beyond that, I just want to, can I jump in here?
Do we
have time for me to get on my soapbox for a minute?
You certainly do.
Because, as you know, I just got back from Tucson where I attended the CAI Law Seminar. And I was talking to Andrew Fortin, who is head of the government affairs at CAI. And he said that his parents, now, for those of you who do not know, Florida has had an ombudsman for a long time. The first ombudsman they had there was a guy by the name of Virgil Rizzo, and Virgil has been on the show at least a couple of times, maybe more, and he was extremely good. But the industry whined because he was good, and they really didn't want someone who was good. So he was unceremoniously canned and replaced by a bunch of fluff pots who, I don't know how to say it, but, you know, they were basically no good. But this is what, these are the people that were handpicked by the industry. Now, it's coming back to bite them in the butt because Andrew Fortin told me that his parents owned some place down in Florida. They had a dispute with the association. They went to the ombudsman, and the ombudsman did absolutely zero. So we asked Andrew what happened, and he said, well, my parents sold their house and moved. Now, that's great if it's a second home and if you can do it, but, you know, these ombudsman programs just don't work. They need to go under the auspices of the Attorney General.
Yes.
Okay, I'm done.
All right. Well, our next bill is one of the bills introduced by a delegate from here in Northern Virginia, Vivian Watts from Annandale. And this is House Bill 468. Of the bills we're going to talk about tonight, this is potentially the worst bill. The bill refers to a director, and you have to read it closely to understand in context that the director they're talking about is the director of the Virginia Department of Professional and Occupational Regulation. That's the person who appoints the ombudsman, the powerless ombudsman. But the director himself does have some authority, and this bill, House Bill 468, would strip the director of a key part of even that limited authority. The authority that would be stripped from the director is the authority to review any notice of a complaint from an association where the declaration of such association is in compliance with state or federal law. What does that mean?
I was going to ask you, what on earth does that mean?
The declarations of homeowners associations and condominiums are basically boilerplate documents. They're generated by CAI. They're cranked out. They're recycled.
Yep.
Association after association.
Yep.
And it is almost unfathomable that a declaration itself would be in violation of state or federal law. However, the actions of a board of directors, the rules and regulations passed by a board of directors, the way the rules and regulations are implemented, the way the declaration is implemented, that's where your issues are. And the director of the Virginia Department of Professional and Occupational Regulation does have some limited authority under the Property Owners Association Act to take some actions that might, even though they're not going to be binding on the association or the homeowner, he can issue what, for all practical purposes, is an advisory opinion. However, House Bill 468 would strip even that authority from the director if the declaration itself complied with state and federal law. He would not be able to look at anything beyond the declaration. He'd have to look at the declaration, and unless the declaration on its face was illegal, he's done.
He's toast. Wow. Now, why would anybody think of something like writing a stupid law like that?
Well, you know, what we're doing, Shu, is we're fixing House Bill 516, and we're fixing it the wrong way.
You know what? We offered them a solution to House Bill 516 when they were thinking around with it. We said, shred it up.
Yes.
It is worth nothing.
Yes.
And do you think any of those bozos would listen to us?
Nope.
Just a couple. And Chad Peterson did, but...
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, that this change is buried. It's the very last provision of a bill that, you know, goes on for several pages. You've got to read almost 10 pages of the Property Owners Association Act to get to this provision. And it says, the director shall not review any notice of complaint from an association that made a final adverse decision where the declaration of such association is in compliance with state or federal law. And that, Shu, is a bad bill.
We're talking to Frank Short, and we're talking about some bad bills that have been introduced by our representatives in Richmond, and this is on the Commons. And my name is still Shu Bartholomew.
And my name is not. And
And
I'll remind you that you can go to richmondsunlight.com, and you can read these bills, and you can comment on them online, and you can vote as to whether you think the bill is a good idea or a bad idea. You can also go to the official Virginia Legislature website. Just Google Virginia Legislature. It'll come right up. And on that site, you can find out when these bills will be considered by committees. If you want to go to Richmond, you can go to Richmond, as Shu and I have, and you can testify before the House Committee or the Senate Committee that's going to vote on these bills, and we strongly encourage people to exercise those rights. These bills have not yet been voted on by the General Laws Committee of the House or the Senate, and that's the best place. If you want to stop them, you can go go testify in Richmond. You can also pull up the email addresses of the people on those committees, the delegates or the senators. You can contact them, and you can say, please don't vote for this bill.
They can email them, and they can also call them.
Yes. Next up, House Bill 496. This is entitled Condominium and Property Owners Act Rules Enforcement, and it is introduced by a delegate named Lingamfelter from the Woodbridge area, and I've been a fan of Mr. Lingamfelter. He has introduced some bills that are pro-homeowner, and he's also introduced some good bills as to individual rights, particularly for you Second Amendment fans out there. However, this bill is not one of his better efforts. And what this bill does is it changes the Property Owners Association Act and the Condominium Act, which currently provide a cap on the period of time for which homeowners associations can assess fines, called charges, on their members for violation of the association's rules and regulations. Now, let's not get into unit owners association versus Gilman, which is a Virginia Supreme Court case that says the power to fine is a governmental power. The power may not be exercised or delegated other than as provided in the constitutions of Virginia and the United States, the effect of which is to basically render unconstitutional as a matter of law the Property Owners Association Act provisions that purport to authorize associations to impose fines on the basis that it is a unconstitutional delegation of a judicial power by the legislature. But as I said, Sue, we're not going to get into that tonight.
We're just going to ignore that,
we're
right?
going to ignore that, just like the legislature did. And we'll also ignore a case out of Rhode Island that is available on Sue's website that ruled the same way.
It's called Foley versus Osborne.
Foley versus Osborne Court Condominium Association. But the current cap under Virginia law is a cap of a $10 a day fine for no more than 90 days. In other words, a $900 limitation that the association can fine you. Now, the association, after imposing that fine through what can only be called the kangaroo court procedure, because there's no real judge involved, there's no real court involved, the words due process don't even appear in the Property Owners Association Act or the Condominium Act, because if they appeared, the question would immediately arise, due process before whom? And so they bring you into a kangaroo court that's already decided you're guilty, and they ask you, how sorry are you, so that we can decide how much of a fine to impose.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can collect that fine. If you don't pay them their $10 per day, they can run it up to $900 right now, and then, without ever going to a court of competent jurisdiction, they can sell your house at auction on the courthouse steps by non-judicial foreclosure. Now, that is illegal in a number of states. But here in good old Virginia, home of the drafters of the Constitution, they think still that it's just a swell idea. And Mr. Lingamfelter's bill would make it twice as bad as it is now by doubling the period of time for which these fines can accrue from 90 days to 180 days.
So, Frank, is it still $10?
It's still $10 a day, but they can run it up to $1,800 instead of $900 And then the associated legal fees, you see, and the period during which they can threaten you before they've got to do anything. And as we've seen, Shu, the real damage here is in the ability to threaten and coerce people without having to go before a judge in a court of competent jurisdiction and prove up your case. Prove that the association has the authority to make this rule in the first place. Prove that it was even-handedly applied, proved in a forum where both the association and the homeowner have equal access and due process. Prove it just like any other corporation in the United States proves a claim when they want to seek redress for an alleged violation of contract. Prove it. But it's so much easier, you see, when we don't have to worry about niceties like that, and we can just go to a kangaroo court and let them decide that it's been proven, and then go to auction on the courthouse steps by non-judicial foreclosure, and we can sell your house out from under you, and we can take that $1,800 from your equity in your home, and then we can tack on, of course, our CAI attorney fees and whatever else we can come up with, the way our friend Augustus H. Shaw liked to do out in Arizona,
yep.
Where he was chastised by a judge for trying to use the court system as a means to collect what the judge called leveraged fee awards.
They continued to do it.
The judge really was not happy with Augustus H. Shaw IV. You can Google Augustus H. Shaw IV Esquire, and you can read all about that character. But Mr. Lingamfelter ought to have left bad enough alone, as they say, and just let the associations continue to collect up to their $900. And at any time they want, the association can go to court, and under the Property Owners Association Act, if the association wins, they can recover attorney fees, reasonable attorney fees, as adjudged by the court. And the judge gets to decide what the attorney fees are, not the attorney.
Right.
What a concept.
Amazing.
So
fascinating.
So that is, again, House Bill 496, and the patron is Mr. Lingamfelter, Lingamfelter, who has my respects, again, for a lot of the stuff he's done, but this is not one of his finest hours.
You know, Frank, when I told you we just got back from the law seminar in Tucson, my friend and I were driving down to we were in a gated community that had a spa and a lodge, and which is where we stayed, and plus homes. It was all a mixture, and there's a golf course, and so we came down and early in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, we're going to the law seminar, which was in another place, and there's a stop sign. We stopped and nothing came, and off we went. And so usually, you know, we just usually just drive right out of the gate. But fines have become so commonplace that the rent-a-cop who was in charge of the gate stopped her and said, "We got word." Now, this was maybe a 2-minute drive from the lodge down there, so it wasn't that long. But there were spies all over the place calling in, "Hey, there's," you know, they gave a description of the vehicle, said the description of the vehicle matched your vehicle, and you ran a stop sign. She said, "How many stop signs are there?" He said, "2. Well, there were, in fact, only one. There was only, in fact, one stop sign. But the thing was, he said, "Next time, young lady, next time you do that, we are going to fine you." She's a guest in the lodge, a hotel. "We're going to fine you."
So, and it's we don't even need kangaroo courts. We now have rent-a-cops.
Absolutely.
Imposing fines.
And they won't let you out because they can block the gate.
Well, you better not try to escape from them, Shu, because that was a bill a couple of years ago. I forget who introduced that piece of happiness. That would have let them fine you up to $250, raising the cap. $250 per offense was proposed for offenses including attempting to escape from the rent-a-cop in the Virginia Homeowners Association. And even the legislature laughed that one out of Richmond. But We made a few calls about that one too, and that one hasn't come back. And the guy who was the association manager of a place called Lake of the Woods, who by the way introduced that without kind of informing his association that he was behind it, and we looked all over their newsletter to find out when he told them, and he told them after the fact, and I guess some people listened to the show down in Lake of the Woods, and that guy is no longer with that association, but anyway.
So we do some good around here, huh? Once in a while?
But I digress.
Yeah, okay.
On to Delegate Sickles, who is also from up here in Northern Virginia, and his district includes a big owners association called Kingstown in the Springfield area. And Delegate Sickles has introduced House Bill 1102, and this is intended, as far as I can see, to overturn a Virginia Supreme Court case called White versus Boundary Association that I think is posted on SHU's website.
Yeah,
and we'll spare you the citation. You can go to SHU's website and download that case.
And the website, by the way, is onthecommons.us.
And the danger to... I think what's going on in this bill is, remember last year and the year before, we had Senator Vogel introducing something called House Bill, was it 6016?
Sounds familiar. Sounds about right.
Delegate Vogel's bill that you can also find on richmondsunlight.com, and you can read all the comments that were posted about that, because that was a pretty scandalous bill. That would have let a board of directors go before a court of equity and change the governing documents, even if the homeowners had voted against letting the board change the governing documents. You put forward a proposal to do something, and the homeowners vote no. And the board of directors could then go to a court of equity and ask the judge to change the governing documents anyway.
Because the homeowners don't know what's good for them,
yes.
You see. But they have to do it. I think they have to make an attempt. They don't even have to put it.
They had to make. Yeah, they had to.
They had to make
an attempt
three times to get it changed.
As though that was a good idea. So the homeowners not only voted against this, they voted against it three times, Judge. That's why you need to just order it.
Yeah, but you see, they don't know. The other thing, Frank, was one of the presenters at the CAI Law Seminar said, "I think of the board members as the parents and the homeowners as the children." And this bill is just, these children don't know what's good for them, and we need the power, so we're just going to go to some judge and have him pass this.
Yeah. Well, that went down to a well-deserved defeat. In fact, as I recall, Senator Vogel finally pulled it.
Beat her up on that.
And, well, times. Yeah, she took a lot of hits at richmondsunlight.com.
I called her several times.
Yeah. And we have heard that CAI was going to try to get that concept across by hook or crook. And
yeah.
What may be going on here in House Bill 1102 is that this may indicate that CAI has decided to do this piecemeal. Instead of one sweeping bill, we're going to take a bite at a time and take our favorite bites first. And our favorite bites are always about what, Shu? Money.
Money, yeah, well, yeah.
Money. We want money.
Well, right, especially right now, because associations, never mind this protecting property values. They're all broke. They're all upside down, and they're all grasping at any straw they can grasp.
Yep.
At.
So what do we have, Shu, in associations like ours that were built in the 70s? What do we have about the power of the board to change the formula for assessments?
You have to go put it to a vote of the homeowners.
You have to put it to a vote for homeowners. Not to raise the assessments, but to change the formula for assessments. And in our association, it says that there shall be a uniform rate of assessment. Everybody pays the same.
Right.
And it's been that way for a long time. And when one of the reasons that Shu and I got on the board years and years ago, back when the earth was cooling, is that... the board of directors had decided to disregard that, and they had all of these stupid fees that they were trying to charge. And we said, wait a minute. This is a departure from the requirement in the covenants for a uniform rate of assessment. And one by one by one, we knocked off the fees. Well, they want those fees back, Shu.
I know. But they've been drooling over them ever since we got rid of them.
And so this bill is the first bite at getting back the fees and getting back more power for the board to mess with the homeowners.
Frank, I have to tell you right now, you know, we're an older association and we have those protections in our governing documents.
Oh, yeah.
But the newer ones don't have it because...
Because they figured it out.
They figured it out. You know, initially it was, we don't want anyone to change anything, so we're going to make it very difficult. And our, you know, what we say goes. And then they found out, wait a minute, we weren't that bright after all. And so now we want to make the changes, and they found out how difficult it was. But I'm hearing from people that their assessments are doubling like every 2 or 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
And they cannot keep up with the payments. And these economic times, they're just making life even more miserable for the homeowners.
Well, let's talk about how Delegate Sickles claims to make life more miserable for the homeowners here in House Bill 1102.
All right.
This is entitled Adoption of Rules Related to Parking, semicolon, Apportionment of Common Expenses. It starts off with rather innocuous language. It starts off, to the extent that the declaration gives the Board of Directors the authority to adopt rules and regulations relating to the parking of motor vehicles by lot owners, which almost every declaration does.
Mm-hmm.
If you have common areas, they're
right.
allowed to say what you can park there.
Comma,
such rules may establish a parking space designation plan which makes parking spaces available to less than all of the lot owners. Period. Now, that's exactly what the issue was in White versus Boundary Association. Because in White versus Boundary Association, the covenants, which, by the way, Trump rules, the covenants said that everybody has an equal access to the common area, including the parking spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And the board in the Boundary Association decided that they didn't like that covenant, so they tried by rule to get around it. And they tried to make the parking spaces available to less than all of the lot owners. And the Virginia Supreme Court said, not so fast, stupid. You can't do that by rule. And so here we have Delegate Sickles, who I'm sure hasn't read White versus Boundary Association, trying to say, in the words of some other folks we know, yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
It goes on to say, House Bill 1102 goes on to say, if such a plan is adopted, the common expenses attributable to such parking spaces shall be specially assessed against the lot owners involved. And the board may impose what, Chu? User fees.
Oh, yeah.
Says the amount of all common expenses not specially assessed pursuant to subsection B, which is one I just read, shall be assessed equally against all lot owners. Uh-huh. Such assessment shall be made by the association annually or more often if the declaration provides.
More often, huh?
Yeah. And by the way, Shu, you know what it doesn't have? It doesn't have any limitation. Just says reasonable user fees. And what's the board going to say? The board's going to say, well, we think this is reasonable, and we have the business judgment rule with us, and so we're going to make these parking spaces available to less than all of the lot owners, and then those people are going to pay our user fees. And my question is, when do the owners get to vote to change the governing documents to do this?
Oh, their children, Frank, you see, we don't need their input. We don't care about that. The boards are the parents, and the boards make these decisions, and if the boards need help, then they can go to the legislature.
So if you bought the house and the covenants say that, hey, you know, this is common area and you have property rights to the common area and everybody's got the same property rights subject to the control by the board of directors of what you can do there. Well, now we're going to start apportioning out the common area, and now we're going to start this user fee business, and we'll get to decide what a reasonable user fee is. And I guarantee you that the reasonable user fee is going to be anything they can come up with. Well, we got to maintain these streets. You know, this is a private street here in the association, and we got to repave it every 6 or 7 years. And so suddenly, what by covenant is common property.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these associations like ours, you've got single-family homeowners, you've got townhomes,
right.
And you've got the single-family homes are on state-owned streets, and the townhomes are on privately-owned streets maintained by the association. And everybody went in, and everybody signed up, and what they signed up to was a uniform rate of assessment. And some people don't like that. And that's why we had all these fees that one by one we racked up, and now, Shu, they're trying to get them back.
I wonder if this, I don't know what's going to happen. I think we need to contact Sickles and tell him to go take a nap or something, because he just doesn't seem to have very good ideas, or he doesn't listen to the right people.
Yeah, well, we know for sure the last time he was listening to CAI big time.
Oh, absolutely, because I got calls from CAI. We understand you don't like this bill. What's wrong with it?
Yeah.
Let me explain it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep. So.
Let me explain it.
So those are the bills that I wanted to talk about tonight. They are by no means all of the bills that are before the legislature. They're just the ones that I thought were particularly stupid, particularly funny.
There's nothing funny about them, Frank. They take away your rights.
Yeah, they're funny, but in a bad way.
You've got a weird sense of humor.
They're the ones that you ought to look up on RichmondSunlight.com. You ought to post comments. You ought to vote on whether you think they're good or bad. And maybe you'll have something funny to say about them. There's at least one of them down there that has a pretty funny comment right now, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's it say?
I forget, but it's by somebody called F. Lee Foreclosure, who's a law partner, I think, of Phil Fileturner. And F. Lee sometimes forgets that he's not communicating to Phil in private about what he wants to say, and he posts his memos to Phil on places like Richmond Sunlight, and his law partner Phil Fileturner gets very upset with him when he does that.
Oh dear.
But it gives you an insight into what the CAI thinking is.
So Phil Fileturner is a member of CAI.
I think Phil, what he has said in his own post is he's a member of what he calls the prestigious junior college of CAI lawyers.
Oh, I just spent time. I wonder if he was there. So are there any good bills out there, Frank? Anything there that's going to help us? Or is it all going to kill us?
Actually, Shu, there was one bill that I thought was a good bill, and I could be talked out of this, but House Bill 812, Virginia Condominium Act and the Virginia Property Owners Association Act, rules regarding the operation of motor vehicles. This bill provides that, except to the extent otherwise provided by the condominium instruments or the declaration, no unit owners or property owners association may establish rules or restrictions concerning the operation of privately owned motor vehicles within the common areas or other areas under the authority of the association. It doesn't mean they can't say that you can't have a house trailer, but the operation of privately owned motor vehicles within the common areas or other areas. In other words, we've already got sign pollution. We've already got rent-a-cops trying to pull people over and give out the association-imposed speeding tickets. And what Shu and I have you know, sometimes tried to remind people of is, you know what? We have what's called the Fairfax County Police. And we support the Fairfax County Police with our property taxes. And we don't need to be supporting any privately paid Barney Fife rent-a-cop with our homeowners association dues. if Fairfax County wants to come in and enforce Fairfax County traffic laws, we welcome them.
But all
it takes to get them on is a letter from the association saying, you're welcome, come in here. And what I liked about it was, when they would come in, and we wrote those letters and we were on the board, mm-hmm. we made sure that the West Springfield substation, which is the station closest to our community association, had those letters on file, and we called them and we said, you need to get over here.
Yeah.
You need to be patrolling the streets. Don't tell us about neighborhood watches. We're paying your salary with our property tax. And just because the place across the street from us is not in a homeowners association and you're patrolling over there doesn't mean you don't patrol our streets.
That's where the unfairness comes in, because we're all taxed at the same rate.
Yeah.
And then they expect us to go out and get hire private rent-a-cops and police officers.
We're not second-class citizens because we live in these associations.
Yeah, apparently we are. We're treated that way.
Well, we need to have traffic enforcement done by real cops with real jurisdiction. If somebody's vehicle needs to be towed or ticketed, and you get a Fairfax County cop doing it at 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody's going to come out of a house with a baseball bat or a tire iron and get into an argument with a Fairfax County cop. Or if he does, it'll be a real short argument. But, you know, how many times have we seen the roving tow trucks and, well, we don't have rent-a-cops, fortunately, but, you know, a lot of associations do, and it is not good for quality of life, and it makes you more of a second-class citizen than you should be.
Now, I'm not big on calling the cops, and I'm not big on ratting out my neighbors or doing anything, but I remember once when we were on Neighborhood Watch, we were driving around. Some people are just plain stupid, Frank, because somebody had a party, and people just parked all over the place blocking the street, so you just couldn't get out of double, triple, quadruple park on both sides of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And in a situation like that, I don't want to go knock on the door, but you need to be able to have access to the street. So that's one time when I did call the cops.
Yeah, and
they came.
And they came, and they'll ticket people, and if it's an emergency situation, they'll tow people, and we've seen it happen. But they don't like to tell you that they will do that, and they'll try to tell you, well, you need to call your homeowners association, or you need to do this, that, or the other thing. And I've told them, hey, wait a minute, what part of my tax bill do I not need to send in next year because you're not going to come out here and enforce Fairfax County law when you got a letter right on file in your office saying please come out and enforce it? There's a Fairfax County ordinance against double parking. There's a Fairfax County ordinance against parking in fire lanes. We don't need roving tow trucks out here enforcing that, even though CAI will, think that's a great deal because, some of their members are roving tow truck companies.
Are they?
Yeah.
Do they have tow?
You betcha. Okay. Yeah. The last membership book we had of CAI memberships here in the Washington Metropolitan Chapter of CAI, yeah, you could look up the roving tow truck companies that were big paying CAI members.
Just think of how many people make their living off you. And this is after you've paid your mortgage, you've paid your utilities, you've paid your taxes, you've paid everything else. And now you've got this whole industry that's there picking the bones clean.
Yep.
Managers, lawyers, grass cutters, tow truck drivers,
yeah.
CPAs.
It's all part of that redistribution of wealth, Shu. See, we got too much wealth, and we need to spread it around.
Apparently not, Frank, because we're, we're not too bad over here, but in some states, it's really bad, Florida in particular. By the way, Florida has the largest number of associations, like 20% of all associations are in Florida, followed by California, 18% of all associations are in. And Frank, these places, especially places like Florida that are snowbird country where you've got all the retirees, they can't afford to go down there and keep their winter homes going.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those have gone into default. A lot of them can't pay. And then what they're doing is they keep bundling all these services like internet. You know, 89-year-olds don't really use the internet, and they don't necessarily always want cable. But yet all of these things are being forced down their throats. So the association's on the hook for all of these services.
Yeah.
And they're half empty. You know, their budgets have been slashed by half.
Yep. Well, I won't name which one of my children cast a ballot for Barack Obama, but I did have a discussion after the election. I said, well, you know, now that we have President Obama and he wants to spread the wealth around, and I guess he's got some of my wealth around. I think the first part of my wealth that I'll send him is your college fund. What do you think? And for some reason, that particular child didn't think that was as good an idea as maybe President Obama did. So.
Well, you know, like it or not, you're redistributing the wealth if you live in an HOA.
Yep.
So, Frank, we've got just a couple of minutes left. And is there any word of wisdom that you want to impart? Anything that we should be looking for? Anything in particular that we want to fight or not fight or ask for or what?
Go to RichmondSunlight.com and do word searches on association and property and declaration and enforcement, and look for bills that maybe Shu and I haven't found, and then tell people what they are.
You know, Frank, you were talking a little bit about the bill that Senator Vogel sponsored last year, and what this would do would give the association the ability to go and get the courts to order changes or amend the governing,
proposal, yeah.
Governing documents. We also have a memo from Bob Diamond who says, we're going to do this, we're going to come back and we're going to do this, but we're not going to put it under the HOA or condo laws. We're going to hide this in other areas of the legislation.
Well, I looked, and if he's done that this time, I gotta admit to you, I haven't found it. But that's why people need to go look, because I don't have all the time in the world. Much as I have this as an advocation, I actually work for the federal government, and I must.
Well, you are being difficult,
and
aren't you?
I have to earn my pay. But for those of you who have some time, get down on Richmond Sunlight and get to the legislature, the official site of the Virginia legislature, and check out these bills and see what you can find. They don't always leap off the pages at you, but it's worth your time. And if you find something, let us know what it is, because there's still time. As I said, none of these bills have been voted on by the committees of jurisdiction in either the House or the Senate. And there's time to contact those committee members and weigh in against these bills. There's time to look on the official Virginia Legislature website to see when the hearings will be in the General Laws Committee of the House and the Senate, where people will have the opportunity to stand up and talk to the committee members before they vote on these bills.
If they will let you.
Well, they let us. So.
Yeah, we had to, in a couple of places, they didn't really want us to do that. What are the search words, Frank, for that bill, that particular bill? Reformation?
What I had in mind, what I was looking for under the Bob Diamond theory that we're going to hide this, I looked at reformation, declaration, declarant. Those were the key words. And because his concept was, we're going to allow an association to reform its declaration or petition the court to reform a declaration without a vote by the homeowners, or in spite of a vote by the homeowners. That was the concept.
So much for democracy, Frank. Thank you so much. Really love having you on with me.
Always fun show. Sure, we'll be back for the St. Patrick's Day show as soon as it changes the weather a little bit up here.
Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.